Mr. Lubba Lubba. Mr. Lubba Lubba. Mr. Lubba Lubba.
See, we can still listen to that song because it's not R. Kelly, because apparently R. Kelly is a big fat rapist.
Now we're finally really engaging with that, you know, in a real way.
We can finally talk about that. So before we get into that...
that was a hot mashup.
Yeah, that was Mr. Boombastic by Shaggy!
But that was like... Does he sample Let's Get It On in that song?
He starts with Marvin Gaye. Let's Get It On. Yeah, and then it just the whole way through, I think that's pretty much the theme. It just does that.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Because the only thing I remember is just like Mr. Boombastic, very fantastic. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
That's it.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think I have hold on.
The musicality of Shaggy's voice overpowered Marvin Gaye's music. His voice was more memorable than Marvin Gaye's classic.
The classic that we all know and love.
I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot. Sick.
Mr. Boombastic.
Very fantastic. It wasn't me.
No, so that's the longest intro we've ever had. I'm Mike Cavanaugh. Joining me right now is Andrei Alupului. I want you to pronounce your name the Romanian way and then the American way.
I'm not sure that I quite know, because the fact is that anytime I get asked this question, I don't actually, so this is too much of a preamble, but basically it's like Alupului.
Yeah. Okay, and that's the Romanian.
Yeah, I guess. And then like Alupului is, or like Alupului is like maybe...
Sure.
That's what I said.
Yeah, and then what's some of the ones people have said, like teachers in classes? They're like Andre.
Alupului, Alupului.
And they're like, what is
Alupului?
I mean, is that Hawaiian? Did you get Hawaiian?
Hawaiian is the main thing. Yeah,
that's the number one.
Number one. If I were to make a listicle,
yeah, you'd be like. Like number one Hawaiian, number two would be
shit, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not coming up with anything. You're right, but people get the first name wrong too, like because there's an I in it. It's like Andre, like in the Russian spelling, A-N-D-R-E-I, and like I used to just get like Andrew and Andrea and like yeah, no, I know. It's great. It's like I would laugh, we would laugh and laugh and laugh. And I'd be like, no, it's Andre. And they would be like, ah, then they'd just start, yeah, it'd be like that. Yeah, it would, like, that was childhood, basically.
Oh, that's, and so you said Hawaiian, and then does anyone ever say Russian?
I mean, you know, maybe off the first name.
And then have you ever been in a situation where you were talking to a girl you liked, and she kept saying your name wrong?
No.
Ugh. Me neither, because my name's Mike.
Yeah, it's hard to fuck that up.
Yeah. I forget people's names a lot.
Yeah, but you know you remember their essences.
Yeah, but it doesn't really go that far with them.
No, I mean it doesn't, but they should maybe be a little less petty and know what real friendship is.
Yeah, I mean for real, if I'm remembering your essence, if I'm going that far.
Yeah.
Then,
like, I know this person. I know this person.
I'm going to play you a few bars of a song. Oh, by the way, Andre is sick.
Yeah, I'm a little.
So you might hear me kill his mic. You might hear him go off mic. And
I'm trying to turn my head away.
This is something that radio shows couldn't do
they
years ago.
They missed the train to Mars. She's out back counting stars. Shit. Shit. Oh, man. Think about that. But she thinks she missed the train to Mars, so she's out back counting stars.
So everything about that means that she's obviously a person that needs to be institutionalized.
I think she's troubled. Yeah. And I think he's going through something, and this song is like a sort of catharsis.
Well, break down what he said. He's not saying she missed the train to Mars.
No, she thinks she missed.
She thinks she did.
Right.
So he's even saying, look... She doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
He's just like, look, I think she's pretty. And I just want to rock out.
Yeah. Ah!
Yeah. So, he and this whole song is just about a crazy woman that he's in love with, which is kind of weird.
Listen,
that's taking advantage of somebody.
She's not at work, but I love her. She's not at school. I think
I finally broke her.
I think I finally broke her. I broke her.
I did it. And they do some 90s mumbling.
I bring home everything I want, nothing that she needs.
So there's no toilet paper for her?
I thought she'd be there holding daisies. She always waits for me.
Wait a minute. Is she a hostage in his home? Is this song about somebody that he is holding hostage in his home?
You know, this is a band that was just really fixated on this sort of like 1950s, like Americana, you know, like I thought, you know, like when the wife would just be home holding daisies.
Yeah.
Like, every time he came home from work. Yeah.
I was at work all day. Where are my flowers?
I work every day to put flowers on this table.
Yeah.
And you're not even holding them.
Oh. You don't have flowers because you thought you missed the train to Mars? It's like, hold on.
Well, but at least tell me how many stars there are.
Yeah, you get outside and you count stars until you realize what you did wrong. That's the world he's living in.
I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. You know, it's like, that's that song is.
And then he's just like, let's just rock.
This is in drop D.
Oh, really?
If you play guitar, you know yourself a
drop
D. So you
gotta fucking tune this.
You gotta do a special tuning.
Oh god, I hate when that happens.
Because it's usually E A D G B D.
Yeah, but in this case, you're dropping the D.
You drop that bottom D. It's what every nu metal band did because it just lets you get a real easy power chord.
It's a lazy power chord.
Yeah, but you can really slam that fucking axe.
Sure, but it's a lazy power chord. It's people not want. My thing is, if I'm gonna tune my guitar to something crazy, I want to play a few songs that do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be tuning left and right because that's how you break strings.
No, but there's like a lot of bands that only do drop
D. Sure, yeah, but
their whole body of work.
Then I'll Google those, and that'll be the day that's what I play.
Korn was a drop D band, you know.
Oh, they were,
Bizkit. Yeah,
there
I mean,
were a lot
all,
of D's.
All those
a lot
bands.
Of D's in those bands.
You're telling me. Yeah. Hit that. You should hit that. Where's that?
The D sound effect?
Yeah.
Oh, here's one of them.
No, the laughter. That, you know.
I guess I missed it.
Well, just don't sell yourself short. Oh, come on. You did great. No, you're doing great.
I earned that.
Kavanaugh. Stop. You know, guys, shut up.
No, it's
guys,
true.
Be quiet. It's, all right. See, that's the spirit.
Oh, we have a caller.
Hello? Hello? Yeah. Hi?
Yeah. I'm calling the show.
Hey, yeah. I didn't know this was a call-in show.
Is this the show?
Yeah, this is you're on the air right now. Welcome.
Did I miss the train to Mars?
Oh, this Kavanaugh, I think this is the lady.
I think
this is the lady.
Hold
from
on,
the song.
I'm pouring a drink. Hold on.
Hi, ma'am. Your name, please, and location. You know, let's just do the whole formal radio thing.
They call me Daisy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think this is the lady. Hi, Daisy.
And I don't know where I am.
Oh, no.
It's dark.
Oh, jeez. Well, is it night outside? Do you see the sky?
Outside?
Yeah. Is it dark outside where you are, or is it dark inside?
There's lights in the sky.
Okay. Oh, jeez. This is
4, 5, 6, 7.
You don't have to count them all. Those are stars.
11.
There's so many stars. You don't have to count them.
Can I get?
Why do you think you missed the train tomorrow?
I don't have Daisy. He hears me.
Oh God!
What did I miss?
Is he gonna? Is
who?
This woman?
Is she on
I
the
think,
line?
I think yeah.
Is she on the
her
line?
Name is Daisy, and I think she's in trouble.
Daisy, are you on the line? Daisy.
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 What was the last thing she said?
She said that that he hurts her. I think, or she he scares her.
Oh. Well, Jesus. Whew, that's creepy.
Did you just hang up on her?
Yeah, I think we lost the connection because normally the light goes to green, And it's red now, so I think either she hung up or we hung up on her or he hung up on her.
I mean, you know, I don't want to harp on this too much, but I think this was really an opportunity for this podcast to, like, you know, help some, like, to put some good out there to help someone.
True, but there's only so much we can do, you know? Pirate radio, there's only so much you can do. I'll tell you what we'll do. Daisy, if you're listening,
please call back.
Feel free, before the end of the show, you call back and we will resolve your issue.
Because I really, like, this was our chance to know why she thought she missed the train to Mars.
Daisy, you know, we want to know why you missed the train to Mars. So
I really want to know.
Call back.
Please call back, Daisy.
At any point, you call back right now. We're going to answer it.
And stay safe. If he's coming for you, then you go somewhere safe.
Well, I mean, daisies aren't that hard. First of all, get daisies.
That's true.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah, just go to, like, you know, whatever deli's around. And
I'm not saying he's right. What I'm saying is don't give him a reason to get angry if he's one of those people.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I don't think a snake should bite me.
No.
But if I know if a snake is going to bite me, then I'm going to, you know, get a stick to put in its mouth.
Exactly. I'm going to give it a stick. That's what you do. Everyone knows that.
We're not engaging in victim blaming here.
No. Just get him daisies, and then when he's playing with the daisies, just run. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're pulling for you.
Yeah, Daisy, stay strong, stay safe. And
yeah, because, I mean, I blame the artists for that song. I mean, they're obviously doing something to somebody. And
the thing that flips me out also, though, is, like, this song came out in, like, 1998 or something. So this has been going on now for, like, just a really long time.
I'm looking up the lyrics to this song.
It's basically like a full confession too.
One of the things, you know, we've gone over. She's not at work. She's not at school. She's not in bed. I finally broke her. I bring her home everything I want and nothing that she needs, so.
Like food or like clothing.
Whatever her basic needs, he does not provide. You know, and I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying, obviously, she's broken.
Well, and they're, you know, I mean, if they're in a relationship and stuff, and that's their, you know, like, it seems like he actually should, like, is.
Yeah.
You know?
If she's broken, she needs help.
Yeah.
So bring her things she needs.
Yeah, or, you know, bring her to someone who can help her.
Let her family know where she is.
I don't think that, like, I get the frustration, and sometimes you're stuck in, like, a difficult situation, but, like, there's a way to responsibly, you know, shift the responsibility over.
This is a cry for help.
Yeah.
This song is a cry for help. So, just to go back to the lyrics, another lyric from this song, written by the band Hum. I found her out back sitting naked, looking up and looking dead.
Yeah.
So she's got no clothes on.
How does one look dead?
I don't know. She's not breathing. She blue
or just like a pallor, or like a
No, there's nothing in her eyes.
Yeah, just like I mean, that's. But also, like, could it be because the way this song is written from this sort of confessional perspective, like it's a projection. Like this guy feels dead. Yep. This guy feels dead in this thing.
Yep.
Maybe, and he's trying to kill her as like a revenge in order to destroy himself. It
reeks of a murder suicide,
and you know, part of it too is like you sort of almost expect it to be like looking up and looking down, like, oh, she's like changing her but then all of a sudden looking dead.
She looks up and she looks dead. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, what?
Jesus Christ. Was like a hit on rock radio.
It was huge. Because people like the people, that's what happens when you have a good riff and a good beat and a good rocking segment of a song. Natalie Portman's kissing a god right now.
Yeah. This is a very steamy kiss at the end of
the, you know, Thor, what I like about the TV? You know, we're watching Thor in the background, and this is very, you know, Christmas is around. And when I think about a beautiful Jewish girl kissing a god, I think about Christmas.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman's a Jewish woman just like the Virgin Mary. Thor is God, just like God. And she, in the next movie, I presume she has a baby. And that baby,
it's like a god baby,
saves the world, right?
Like a demigod. Yeah, it's got to save the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when things have babies. Remember in Angel, when Darla and Angel conceived a baby?
Right.
Connor.
Mm-hmm.
From Mad Men.
Yeah, he's now on Mad Men, and he's like, seems like kind of a weird guy. In like a fun way. Yeah. Like eccentric.
Yeah, I'm glad that he landed on his feet, because he wasn't really that good in that role.
No, he wasn't. And he's very good on Mad Men.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I think the role sucked. I think it was a no-win scenario for any actor. Because you had to be a jerk. Like, Connor had no good lines. He had no personality. He had no sense of humor.
It was basically the Dawn of that series, you know?
Yeah. Yes. But at least Dawn, towards the end, would make jokes and started stealing things.
Right, yeah. Well, he didn't have enough seasons to find his feet.
And he did try to kill Cordelia.
Yeah. Which, come on.
Oh, remember? Oh, Jesus. All right, I don't want to make the whole show about people killing women. But at least we're coming across on the side of against it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So people can't get mad at us.
You can't call this the people killing women show. You can call it the anti-people killing women
because
show.
Because every time it comes up, we have said, oh, that's horrible.
I condemn that.
Anyway, so if anyone wants to know, since we're against it.
Right.
The writers of that song, Stars, are Jeffrey Dempsey, Tim Lash, Brian St. Pierre, and Matt Talbot.
Yes.
The last thing I'm going to do.
Hum.
I'm going to go to Wikipedia and see if there's any, if there's anything else about this song that we should know. Oh, this is a very short Wikipedia entry. It's Stars is the second single from Hum's 1995 album, You'd Prefer an Astronaut? See, these people, they're so bitter.
Yeah.
Somebody apparently left him for an astronaut, which is, first of all, is a lie.
Yeah.
She made up a lie.
Yeah, she left him for anybody. Yeah. Anybody else.
For nobody.
Yeah. Just to be alone for a while.
She was like, I'd rather just be naked outside than see your face.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you must be dead.
Yeah.
If you don't want to fuck me, you must be
dead.
And
she's like, I'm dead, and hung up the phone. And then he called back. She's like, what? He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm with my astronaut boyfriend. Because, you know, like when people are like making up a fake name, and like, what's your fake name? And they look around and they see like a book or you Rubik's Cube. So they're like, oh, my name's Rubik's Cube because it's stupid and they can't come up with anything.
Yeah.
She was looking up at the stars and he's like, who are you dating? And she's like, Starman. And he's like, Starman? And she's like, no, he's an astronaut. And she hung up.
Right.
And so then they make an album. Oh, you'd rather date an astronaut?
And, you know, let's appreciate that his reaction in that moment wasn't, oh, haha, good joke. He was like, oh, okay, I'm going to fucking kill him.
Yes.
You know, like he's like, who's the maniac in the song, really?
Yes. That guy.
The Hum guy.
I'm assuming it's the lead singer, because I think we can always make the assumption that the lead singer, with the exception of a couple bands ever, are the people that write this bullshit.
Well, like, I mean, imagine, like, you know, putting yourself out as the face of, like, a band, and meanwhile the guitarist is, like, writing songs about fucked up stuff that you don't subscribe to.
Imagine, if you and I were in a band, and you're the lead singer, it's being like, this is great, everybody loves me, and I'm like, look, here's a new song, you have to memorize it by next Friday, and it's all about a naked girl out back that you're killing with flowers.
Be like, you know, like, Mike, I didn't do this.
You're like, well, you have to sing it like you did, and you have to sell it.
I don't understand. Like, why would you write about
it? Because
this?
It's from the point of view of the person who did it. So if you're going to sing it, you have to act like you did it, okay?
But you...
And cry when you sing it.
I'd rather sing about something
else. No, and you need to have dirt under your fingernails, because it needs to be legit.
Well, you know, I've said it before at band practice a bunch of times. I'd like to try writing the lyrics.
Oh, well, then you can try it when you're writing your own little sissy band ice cream cone songs, okay?
You know, we're a band. I mean, we should collaborate.
Okay. That's when you break up. That's when bands break up, right there. The reenactment we just did.
Yeah.
It's called an impasse.
Uh-huh.
When you want to do something, I want to do something, and they contradict each other.
Right.
It's an impasse.
Yeah. The next line, we didn't act it out in the scene because we called it earlier, and that's just sophisticated. You know, you come in media res, and you try and sort of, like, you know, leave them hanging. But the next line would have been, I quit the band.
Yeah, that's it.
But you don't. You just want a smash cut to, like, you got the guitar outside waiting for the bus. You don't need to have that line.
You don't need the shoe leather.
You know, it's
just let it happen.
That's iceberg.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, it's all the stuff underneath the surface. The single, according to Wikipedia, was modestly successful in the United States. I like that word modestly because it means absolutely nothing.
Well, I do believe that Hum were an underappreciated band.
Yeah, but I guess I wonder why.
They were sickos.
Yeah, maybe they spent half their time in therapy and prison.
Yeah. They were so, you know, that's the thing, though. It's like gifted artists, awful people. You know, loop back around to R. Kelly, loop back around to Mel Gibson.
Oh, my God.
You know, The Passion of the Christ.
Fantastic actor. Incredible fantastic movie. Director.
Incredible director.
His imagery is on point. His subject matter is controversial.
It is controversial.
But his vision's not.
yeah,
what he frames in a shot, not necessarily. But yeah, I mean, no, I mean, John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
Another artist.
Great actor.
You know?
You know, I wish I could have seen him on stage.
Sick Semper Tyrannus.
The boards. Yeah.
Sick Semper Tyrannus. I almost said that last night when I threw the semen on you. That's a story for another day.
Yeah, not literal semen, by the way. this was just a thing in a comedy show.
Anyway, no, we did a comedy show and I threw fake semen on him. But anyway, I almost did it, but I didn't want to make a political statement.
Right.
So I didn't say that.
Thank you. Yeah, we tried to stay apolitical.
I don't want to pick sides.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people in this country who think John Wilkes Booth did the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not taking sides.
There's a whole line dividing us. It's called the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, they called that for a reason. This song...
Sweet!
The song Stars by Hum.
Yeah.
Peaked at number 11 on Hot Modern Rock Tracks. I guess that's a...
That was like a subgenre at one point.
Yeah,
I guess modern rock.
I guess people actually listened to that tracks. And it was at number 28 on the Hot Mainstream Rock Tracks.
Ooh.
I've never heard of either one of these. You know, tell me Rick Dees. Tell me Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Tell me top Billboard 100.
I just want to know top 40. Like, don't like, you know, ghettoize these lists. I want a list and it's the top 40.
I don't want some where'd
they fit in.
Yeah,
I don't think they made it.
I don't think they did either. In addition, the song has digitally sold 26,000 copies, which Billboard, who we just were giving all the credibility to, estimates is largely due to Cadillac commercial that used the song. I remember that commercial.
Yeah, I do too.
Which was years after it came out. It was nowhere near.
It was in the aughts, for sure.
Which would make sense because when this song came out, there were very few. I mean, you could get MP3s on the internet, but you weren't buying them. So when they say 26,000 digitally sold, people weren't buying. People were listening to digital songs well before they were buying them digitally.
Yeah.
So the fact they said that means, yeah, definitely that was totally the Cadillac commercial. And then in Beavis and Butthead episode, The Future of Beavis and the Butthead, the video was shown to which the duo mistaken as being over already, even though it was just the beginning. Okay, great description, Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's not actually a sentence.
No.
I would guess that as soon as that like drop D like stuff comes in, that Beavis and Butthead would be headbanging to this song.
Absolutely. Once they drop D it.
It's fucking, it's like boy-oing-oing.
Yeah.
This is rock and roll boner heaven, you know? Speaking of boner heaven.
Yeah, sometimes I just like to play that. I like the beginning of that bizarre love triangle.
Yeah.
This is what I like to call, this is the first episode of season two of this podcast.
Okay. Because there has been a little bit of a break in between.
Oh, yeah. There was a hiatus.
Yeah. Before, like, I do feel honored. Never made it, you know, like, you know, I'm so happy now in the second season to get on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Having been a whole season before this, like, it's a real honor to be in the premiere of the second season.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few themes in the first season that I kind of want to bring back. You know, there's a few things from the first season I want to forget. But there's one thing that I talked with a few people about, and it was planning their funeral. And I want to know, have you put, I mean, we're both philosophical people. And when people are philosophical, when they say they're philosophical, when they describe themselves or define themselves as philosophical people, you can almost assume that means they think about death at some point. They try to break it down.
Sure, yeah.
So how much time do you spend thinking about philosophically death? Not like harping on how I'm going to die or I don't want to die or just the philosophical idea that at one point, because this is the way I look at it. Other people have different ideas of death. I look at it at some point, I'm going to cease to exist.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to exist ever again.
Yeah.
And everything about who I am and what I say and what I think and how I react and all that stuff. I mean, that can all go away in a car accident. I can be like brain damaged and that can go away too. It doesn't take death for it. But death will do it.
Yeah. And it'll do it, you know, maybe when you don't expect it. I think that's really the bummer.
Well, yeah, that's the...
The bummer of death is really just... you know, not getting to complete, you know, a project that you're working on or, you know, or just like to see something that you had hoped to do, to accomplish something. But aside from that,
that you're never going to do ever again.
Yeah, you're never going to do it, but you're also never going to mourn the loss or anything like that. You're not going to be like, you know, kicking yourself in the afterlife.
But that doesn't make me feel any better, because I'd like to.
And I don't think there's an afterlife. But
no,
you know what I mean.
One.
Like,
there isn't one. There's nothing. You're dead and it's over. And that's what's depressing. Regardless.
That's what's comforting, actually, for me.
For me, it's depressing because it's like, I want there to be some.
Here's my little thing, because like it's to me, I think, you know, when you die, you just sort of snap off and you just, you know, that's it. Like,
yeah,
and
that's
over. And it's an incredibly difficult like concept to really try and like and understand or whatever, because like the, you know, ceasing to exist altogether is like, oh, so you're like in a void. Like, we can't help but think in terms of like perpetuity, or it's like, well, so okay, so how do I experience that state?
And
it's
that's
like,
what,
well,
I mean, there's
you
no
literally
experience.
Do not experience
that's
it.
What's scary for me,
but that's what's exciting to me. I'm not ooh, no, it's not exciting to me. Like, you know, but it is what makes that, to me, that's comforting, because I think about, you know, what I think about sometimes is how I'm rooted in a perspective that I'm in. Thank you for this accompaniment, you know, where it's like, you're locked into your own eyes. You can't see from any vantage point except wherever you move your skull, right?
But and there's nothing to look forward to,
no,
when there's nothing.
No, but hang on, right? And I've always been curious about what it is that is the experience of other people. And you go outside and you're like, well, I'm rooted in this. And there's all these other people that are having the same thing happening, where it's like they're rooted in their experience, but they're having something completely different from me.
Sure.
And so to me, it's like, okay, well, so I blink out and I don't experience anything. But then someone else blinks on, or all these other people are on already. So I don't literally jump into it, but it's like the fact that that continues to be means that there continues to, like, I feel as if essentially if someone else is experiencing something and I completely cease to experience anything, then it's almost as if it all just keeps going.
It does all keep going, but you have no interaction.
But
with
I
it.
May as well be that person. Once I blink out, I may as well be all the people.
You're not going to be anybody.
I'm not
going to
be anybody.
You're going to be nothing.
But because those people are themselves, then I am them. Because when I'm nothing, I'm everything, right? It's just that stuff just keeps happening.
But you're not going to know it. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to sense it.
I don't. But yeah, but that those like.
I think, therefore I am. So if you're not thinking, you're nothing.
Right, but someone else is thinking, and they are.
Yeah, but they're doing it then, not me.
That's not me, but it's, you know, it may as well be me, because it's not.
Yeah, it may
else.
As well be, but it's not.
But it isn't not.
Oh my god.
I don't know how much better to crystallize it than that.
Oh no, you did it. You did the
but
best.
But it's pretty
that
comforting.
The problem
to
is
me.
You did the best job you could do.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Is you did the best job you could do explaining that.
Right.
And it still makes no sense.
But yeah, no, I'm telling you, it's just a feeling. But it's a feeling that I've keyed into and that brings me a great deal of comfort, and so I have it. So try and help out. You can boo it all you want, you pricks. You motherfuckers, I open up to you and you boo me. You fucking scum. I'm gonna come out there and punch every one of you pieces of fucking shit in the face. When did you ever fucking share anything like that? When did you ever open up your fucking heart and try and tell someone any fucking thing? You fucking pieces of shit. You fucking little idiot. Like, oh, you're just sitting there? You just want to sit there and listen to other people talk? You fucks.
Oh.
We got a phone call?
I don't know. I couldn't hear. There, people were booing and there was yelling and these fucking.
I got really heated.
No, it's just because it was. Yeah, I think I do hear a phone call. Hello, caller. You're on the air. This is the Deep Cut Show right now. It's Mike Cavanaugh and Andre Lupului. We're just hanging out. We're drinking and what's going on? What can we do for you?
Hey, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt.
My name is Matt Talbot.
Oh shit. Oh my god, hold 1 second, please.
Oh shit.
Dude.
Yeah.
Wasn't Matt Talbot? Hold on, let me go to Wikipedia.
Yeah, no, like it really rings a bell.
It was yes, Jeffrey Dempsey, Tim Lash, Brian St. Pierre, and
Matt Talbot. Oh my god.
Okay. All right.
I believe he was the vocalist.
That's right. I before we go back to the caller, I didn't mute us.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
This is Matt. I've been
Yeah.
You guys are kind of talking about
I know. I did I'm still not getting used to this mixer and
I get that. Having been in a band, I really
Yeah. Yeah, so did you hear what we were saying earlier about the song? We kind of want to know what was going on with some of these lyrics. I mean, you know, it starts out kind of fine. You know,
it gets a little kind of creepy though, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she thinks she missed a train and marches out back hunting stars. It's like, oh, that's cute. It's poetic. It's she's a thinker. She's creative. She's a dreamer.
Yeah.
But then, you know, she's not at work. She's not at school. She's not in bed. I think I finally broke her.
Yeah.
What was the so?
Well, you know how you break a horse. You ride it hard. But in a romantic sense.
Okay. So the
First off, actually, I would like to say, we made it to number 7 on the Hot Modern Rock charts.
No,
I know what it says on the website.
No, sir, I'm calling you out, sir.
I'm calling you out. I believe I was calling you out.
Because I am calling you are a liar, sir.
I think the internet is a liar in this case because I have the certificates that I received
right
in the mail.
Here in front of me.
They were
never
postmarked.
Above number 11.
This was 1995.
Hot Modern Rock tracks.
And it came in the mail in a letter. I opened it with a letter opener and
it
was labeled Billboard
11,
and it said I was number 7. Number 7 on the Hot Modern Rock charts.
Never, as a matter of fact, number 7.
I'm telling you, you know.
You know what I'm telling
sometimes
you, 26,000 copies sold because of a Cadillac commercial.
You know, Wikipedia, people put a lot more
Cadillac
faith
commercial.
In it than
you
it
sold
deserves,
out. You are
and
a
I think
sellout.
You ought to
there
maybe reconsider a little bit how much, because
that
if that's your authoritative
you
source, I don't understand why you don't
places.
Go to Billboard. You know, I just told you.
I told you what Billboard even said that you're
you told me what it said on Wikipedia, but I'm telling you. And Billboard, by the way, doesn't have charts on their website dating back past 2000, so there's no way to verify on their website, but I'm telling you that's the truth. I'm telling you I have a letter. I will fax it. Do you have a fax in the studio?
I do have a fax in the studio.
Give me the number and I will fax
you. I will.
You
I'm not
going
to give it to you over the radio because I don't want a bunch of spam faxes.
Well, do it on the side then. I don't care how
I'll
you
do
it.
It
or I will
side.
Tell you my email. It's womanbreaker69
oh my God.
At angelfire.com.
That's what I call a transition in the show.
Okay, am I supposed to be myself now?
I don't know. Yeah,
that really felt like a freeze.
Doesn't
frame.
It feel like an improv wipe?
Oh yeah, that's a sweet baby.
Okay, so from now on, that's what we're using. So season 2, we're debuting the improv wipe.
Yeah.
Into the podcast.
New features, new technology being developed at every moment. Oh my God, who's calling? Someone's calling.
What?
Do you hear that? There's a phone call.
No, I took my headphones off. I'm getting another drink. Just answer the fucking phone. Hit the red button.
Okay, all right. I wanted to answer the phone. Okay, all right, I'm going to answer. Hello? Hang on, let me hit this red button.
Dude,
hello?
Hit the red
button. Where it's which one? There's like a million. Every fucking console is 6 red buttons.
You're hitting the red light. It's the button.
Okay, where's the button relative to the light?
Look, count 3 down.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, and then just push that. You have...
Okay, that's not...
Okay. I
that's not it.
All right.
I counted 3 down. Did you mean 3 and then 1?
It
4?
Just turned off.
Okay.
They hung up. They hung up.
Hello?
No, they hung
Hello?
Up.
Hello?
They hung up.
Hello? Hello?
Okay. What's that noise?
I don't know. I heard like a woman's voice.
So did I. Oh, that's just eerie when you hear a woman's voice, but there's no women in the room.
Yeah. Let's get them.
No, that's
oh,
not.
No, oh, no, no.
That's
no.
not what I'm talking about.
Okay, never mind.
I'm saying
Sorry.
It's eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, what you said.
You know, this is a funny.
Very eerie.
It's just a comedy podcast.
Very eerie.
Just doing some comedy.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little thing I like to call random.
Yeah,
this is where I randomly hit a song. That makes me think of this song. This is Kings of Leon.
Okay.
An American band.
Yeah.
of the past decade.
Uh-huh. Very southern. Southern gentleman.
Very southern look.
Yeah.
Very southern. But they probably ride four-wheelers.
They do.
They probably mud. You know people go mudding?
Let's say like Strokes meets Creedence.
You know? I hear it.
You know? Like meets Interpol.
I hear meets Interpol with a bass.
Mumford. And Sons!
Yeah.
And Sons! Yeah!
So here's the lyrics. Here are the lyrics.
Thank you.
Sex on Fire.
Yes.
Kings of Leon. Lay where you're laying.
Okay.
Don't make a sound.
Whoa. Okay.
I know they're watching. They're watching.
Okay. Some exhibitionism going on here.
All the commotion. The kitty-like play.
Ooh. That doesn't feel good to hear.
Has people talking.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking.
Wow. And that's all the dude wants. He's going to fuck a child who is forced to stay silent just because he wants to get people looking at him, yeah, paying attention and
it's
talking.
It's like, hey, just lay where you're laying.
You know?
But don't make a fucking sound.
This is the egocentrism required.
This is what's wrong with the arts.
Yeah.
You can just be like, yeah, oh, you know what? I'm not going to rape and kill that kid,
right,
but I'm going to sing about it.
Right.
And I'm allowed to because freedom of speech.
Oh, you know what? Everybody in the world wants to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to fuck a kid because that's what I want to do.
Freedom of
and
speech.
And they're going to love it because they think I'm brilliant.
Well, anyway, that's the first
verse.
So
that's the first. I mean, that's like four lines.
And then the chorus is you. Your sex is on fire.
Your sex is on fire. Okay, so now it's like a thing where...
It's a euphemism for I just gave you an STD.
I feel right. Like, it's not... Because it reads, you know, and this is a spin that he puts on it where he's like, I got an STD from you. But really, I gave you the STD. Because, like, who's the dirty one?
Yeah.
Probably the kid fucker.
He's like, guess what? Now your sex is on fire.
Now your sex is on fire.
I just gave it to you, so deal with it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So,
but I love you.
A few years ago, I wrote a song. It's a Christmas song. I forgot the verse, but I know the chorus. Okay. So instead of singing the verse, I'll just tell you the verse. The verse is like, everyone's happy and it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And then the chorus is, all around, people dancing, children screaming, Merry Christmas, I can't believe it's Christmas time again. All around, people dancing, children singing, Merry Christmas, I can't believe it's Christmas time again. Just one more time. All around, people dancing, children singing, Merry Christmas, can't believe it's Christmas time again. You know what, we'll do it one more time. All around, people dancing, children screaming, Merry Christmas, I can't believe it's Christmas time again. Good harmonizing. That was the song for the holiday. I wrote that song. And
oh,
you know
good.
What? You know what? Ham and Kings of Leon. I didn't kill anybody in that song.
Yeah, you know that was just celebrating the holidays.
Yeah, guess what? You know, take a page out.
You can do it if you really
book.
Try.
I'm not going to. Is the thing. I mean, I did have a line about kids screaming, but you have to. If you continue it, they're screaming Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're just screaming.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You have to take it all. You can't just pick and choose lines.
It was a beautiful song. I really liked it.
So that's the song.
Yeah.
So anyway, Andre, thanks for christening the show.
Oh, man. So happy to be a part of the second season premiere. This was super fun.
This is Mike. This is Andre. We did it. This is the show. You fucking... Looking back on the track, on the two-way.